Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast. I'm Evan Schwartzdrucker. On today's show, following up on a topic we've discussed on the show before, rate regulation of business broadband. And on today's show, we're talking about Verizon. And this is a big telephone company. You're obviously familiar with it. And an ex parte filing with the FCC earlier this month suggests that the company is changing its perspective about an issue. And the question is, why? Is this the result of regulation? Is the company responding to incentives, or is this an unprincipled departure from longstanding practices? Joining me to discuss this is Bruce Melman, co-chairman of the Internet Innovation Alliance, and he discussed this topic on the show before. Bruce, thanks for joining again.
Thanks for having me back.
So you had a piece in The Street, which was very interesting, and as I mentioned, I was emailed it multiple times by colleagues, so well done. And it seems like Verizon has endorsed rate regulation in business data services. Why is this happening?
Well, the Verizon of 2016, 2017 is not the Verizon of 2000. And if you take a look at how they're operating as a business and how they're looking to go forward, they're no longer going to be investing in wireline fiber facilities, the old Fios properties they've substantially sold. And they are aligning themselves with the so-called CLECs. And rather than investing in infrastructure, they're looking for regulations that give them access at subsidized rates to infrastructure.
And just to recap for listeners, and you can correct me if I'm wrong since you are the policy wonk, we're talking about when an incumbent telephone company, right, someone like Verizon, they wire a building and they sell business data services, which is often things like VoIP, voice over IP, phone calls, et cetera, just the kind of internet-based services you need to run a business. They sell those, and they are, I guess, forced to resell that service to CLECs, competitive local exchange carriers. And what we're really talking about is just unbundling, reselling a service, and that being a kind of artificial competition we've talked about at Tech Freedom before, where it's not really more pipes to the building. It's not facilities-based competition, wires competing with one another. It's the same wire being resold over and over again. And these rates are regulated. And it's interesting that Verizon, being the incumbent phone provider, which is generally the victim of such regulation, is now aligning itself with the purported beneficiaries of such regulation. And it really begs the question, what has changed to make them do this?
Well, I think it's a couple of different things. First and foremost, as just a raw business matter, their highest returns have been in wireless, where they have been an aggressive investor. They're the carrier I use. They're the best in my home area, home territory, and they put a lot of their investment there. Their wireline facilities, their fiber, were earning lower returns. That then gets compounded by the last 8 years of regulatory preferences, which have been increasingly in favor of competitors who seek access, the CLECs, who want to ride for free or ride at subsidized, I should say at subsidized rates, not for free, but they want to ride at subsidized rates, infrastructure that's invested in by others, such as previously Verizon and AT&T.
And you talked on the show before about how these companies have made a calculation and they could have said, all right, so we're 70 feet or whatever from Verizon, and we could build that infrastructure and compete with them. Or we could go to government and say, we want to use Verizon's wires for a lower rate. You suggested that there's really nothing stopping these smaller companies from building out networks and competing other than their preference for lobbying over deployment. And that's kind of sad. And we talked about that on the show before, where companies feel like it's a better business decision to hire lobbyists, to go to the FCC, to advocate for regulation of your competitor rather than build a network.
Well, it's economically rational.
Right.
They're not bad people for doing this. And in a world where you can invest a dollar, if there's a higher return on wireless, you'll invest a dollar in wireless instead of wireline. What's fascinating here is when you go back, in the 1990s, there was this unbundling. And that's following an era of legacy infrastructure where the only way to deliver voice was the old, once upon a time, single company AT&T network. But what we found is we found that as the technologies, voice, video, data were converging and you were able to deliver them over wireline, the telephone company's networks, or over cable, which was unregulated, or over wireless, which was unregulated, the FCC realized, you know, and this is the FCC in the Clinton administration and the FCC in the Bush administration, that smarter policy here would be to encourage facilities-based competition, cross-platform competition, where you would have multiple providers investing in increasingly robust networks in competition with one another. And during that era, Verizon, to their great credit, came up with the line, new wires, new rules. And they proposed, and a bipartisan commission approved, the idea that for new fiber-based investment, there wouldn't be this legacy price regulation. Their goal was to encourage fiber investment, and they got it. And there was an incredible competition of deployment and of investment between the wireline companies and the cable companies, with the wireless companies sneaking up on everybody in a wonderful way. And now a majority of customers, whether it's for business data services or whether it's consumer voice, video, and data services, have multiple competitive offerings over robust networks that are meaningfully improved thanks to the pro-investment policies of the Clinton FCC and the Bush FCC.
And there's a real distinction to be made here. And even this FCC to this day claims that facilities-based competition is their belief, although there's a lot of reasons to doubt that. And just let's look at Europe, for example. Europe is the model that I described earlier about reselling broadband. And this is also in the residential and consumer broadband space, as opposed to just BDS, business data services, which are separate in the United States. But in Europe, they said, no, the definition of broadband competition equals one pipe to the home, resold a million times, and that's competition, because number of competitors equals competition. Whereas in the United States, I think we took a different approach. I know that we took a different approach. And it was about, like you said, two pipes competing, maybe three pipes, more pipes, the better. Wireless counts too. And that will lead to real competition. And it's also a better job creator, because the more construction, the more infrastructure deployment, that's good jobs. And the FCC still claims that that is their preference, yet their actions kind of betray that. And they've declared not enough competition in this market, and that's why rate regulation is needed. And now it looks like they have a new ally in that, in the form of Verizon, which is, again, surprising.
Surprising, though, when, as we've discussed, when you take a look, this is the new incentives that the FCC is putting forth. Verizon's an economically rational actor. Their big dollars are in their wireless network, so they've decided that rather than be a wireline deployment player and investor, they'd rather be a CLEC, and they'd rather just seek regulated access. It's a higher return on a lobbied dollar than it is on the dollar put in the ground.
So when the ILEC becomes the CLEC, essentially.
It has become the CLEC.
And there's really, it depends on how you define competition when you come to these conclusions that there's no competition, right? And I've just talked about number of competitors doesn't necessarily equal competition. Intensity of competition is often the more important thing. And even if it looks like a market is not competitive because one provider is particularly dominant, the fact that the infrastructure is sitting only 70 feet away in and of itself is a form of competition, because it's like a guy standing over your shoulder being like, as soon as you screw up, as soon as you stop providing value for your customers, we're going to jump in. That is a form of competition, even if it's not direct competition for consumers. And the FCC seems to blind itself to these realities, and they define competition as number of competitors. And that's why it supports a regulatory agenda where we're talking about setting the prices of broadband, even though I could link you to multiple clips of Chairman Wheeler saying he's not interested in rate regulation. Apparently, he is very much interested in rate regulation, and that's why you have this special access proceeding that we've talked about on the show before. So what could they be doing differently, the FCC, right? Because they have regulators going to regulate, like we say, and they have time and they want to do things. And it's always better to provide an alternative, something productive for a regulator to do, rather than just say, sit around and twiddle your thumbs, even though I'm sure a lot of libertarians would love nothing more. But what could the FCC do if there is a problem or if there are things that need to be improved, rather than just rate regulate broadband? Because on our last show, you seemed to suggest that that would really depress fiber investment.
Well, they could follow the data. I mean, they've sought a data-based proceeding. They've collected data. The data shows the business services market is very competitive. And so The challenge, and look, Chairman Wheeler's a good man. He's real smart. He's been in the industry. He was the top lobbyist for wireless. He was the top lobbyist for cable. He understands a lot of this stuff, and he wants to get it right. The challenge is he's presented with a choice, and he's choosing, unfortunately, the opposite of what history teaches me and teaches many observers, which is you need robust investment. You need competitors competing against, you need cable competing against wireless, competing against wireline. And to hamstring any one of them with a new price regulation, to go back to the 1990s, let alone multiple of those providers with those kind of regulations, will impede investment. And you'll get more folks, to your point, looking to compete with the current technology as it exists with each other. And you'll have fewer folks like Google Fiber looking to lay down new and much more robust networks.
The incentive now is to be a CLEC, it looks like. And we kind of might be in a perverse situation where no one wants to be an ILEC because that's a burden. And you then have to deal with rate regulation, whereas if you just morph yourself into a new entity and call yourself a reseller, you get a better deal. But then who in their right mind would want to maintain this infrastructure unless they're forced to, which is often the case. I mean, we've talked about on the show before also. The IP transition, moving away from old decayed copper wire cables, which either can be upgraded or retired, in favor of fiber. But the FCC forces these copper wire networks to be maintained as long as there's one guy in a town of however many people who thinks he needs a landline copper wire telephone. Where is the incentive to build out fiber? Is there still an incentive to build fiber? I mean, we're seeing one major company, Verizon, saying Fios, one of its most important brands. They're just like, meh, let's move on to wireless. And like you said, these are not bad companies doing bad things. They're just responding to basic incentives. Do you see any path forward where we still have people deploying fiber to businesses?
Well, I do. I'm also an irrational optimist. I mean, I remain hopeful still. The proceeding is not completed. I remain hopeful that as they look at their data and they think hard, the commissioners realize, you know, this is a competitive marketplace and that we have arrived in our world-leading, world-beating position as a result of incentives that have encouraged investment in fiber networks and encouraged improvement in copper networks. And we've done so by not price regulating, by not forcing these improvements to have to be shared with competitors. Because if my option is either to invest in improvements or to invest in improvements and share them versus a company that can just share them, I just share them. It's a higher return on invested dollar. It makes perfect economically rational sense. When you look at what Verizon historically had done, when you look at what AT&T is doing, when you look at companies like Frontier Communications, they are incredibly innovative and they are improving networks and they're bringing a level of competition that Europe wishes it had. And so I fear that this business data service regulation, this return to the 1990s price regulation, is bad economic policy that will reduce our leadership and narrow the gap as the Europeans who have gone to this regulatory approach will no longer be trailing us so badly.
Yeah, and you're not just making this up. There are data to support that Europe has half the broadband investment per capita as the United States. And I think that $1 million of broadband investment in the U.S. CapEx is 20 jobs alone. And when you talk about billions of dollars worth of rate regulation and billions of dollars worth of investment drying up, we're talking about good jobs. And if you're a fan of unions, a lot of these are union jobs. So it's not all black and white. You kind of answered my question about going forward. You have some optimism that the proceeding will maybe either be delayed or improved. But this other dynamic where companies that have been united on other issues start to go after each other, that might benefit government, doesn't necessarily benefit companies. But you saw them, you know, Title II, net neutrality, for example. You had the wireless and the wireline united, and anyone who basically built any infrastructure in broadband except Sprint was kind of united on this issue. And are we seeing a trend away from that where because the proponents of net neutrality got such a victory that boiled down to the FCC doling out favors to one side of an equation or the other, are the companies that fought against Title II now basically seeing this is the end game and we all need to try to get the government to screw our competitors? Do you see this as a new dynamic that will emerge, or is there still hope that all these companies can realize we're all in this together, even if we're competing, we want a level playing field and we have enough pride in our business that we think that we can do this without the FCC giving us favors.
I'm not sure I'd call it a new dynamic. I mean, you had a former champion of Team A switching to Team B, and so that's new. But at the end of the day, the idea that companies in competition in the marketplace are looking to get government to weigh in on their side or to switch and change the rules to advantage where they are, or where they want to be, is as old as government itself. There's nothing new about it. It's not going to change regardless of how this this business data services proceeding goes. There are companies that believe investing in infrastructure is the way to go. There are companies that believe seeking regulatory support for low-cost access to the infrastructure. In the same way, there's some companies that believe they should invest a lot of money and innovate, and other companies that believe that we should have as short a possible patent term, and they'll let other people innovate, and they'll just wait and jump on the technology once it becomes freely available. These are rational business actors and business decisions. The challenge for government is not to pick a side it likes better, but to follow data and to approach any regulatory question first and foremost by what do we know as a fact. And the frustrating element here is that the data collected by the FCC is clearly in favor of finding a competitive market, not in need of price re-regulation. Yet that doesn't appear to be what the FCC is doing, and it makes one wonder whether the FCC knew what it wanted to do before it collected the now inconvenient data.
Oh, well, that would be a crazy thing to think that the FCC had already come to a conclusion on a proceeding before it even started, and that no matter what the hell happened during that proceeding, they would do the thing that they set out to do. I mean, what a crazy notion that we've seen play out multiple times and discussed on this show.
And look, you know, I'm a Republican by background, but I'll be fair. I'm sure a Republican FCC would similarly potentially collect data and find data in support of what they want. I just think in this case, the data is pretty overwhelming. And so I remain hopeful still that the FCC is going to say, we wanted to go there. There's just we collected the data and we got to follow our data.
Yeah, and it really begs the question, is it even reasonable to rely on companies to stick to their guns in the face of what are obvious incentives and regulatory actions that are taken that influence their behavior? Or do we need to accept the fact that companies are going to do what they're going to do because that's their responsibility to their shareholders and their customers, and that the real thing we need to do is have lawmakers that are principled and that think about philosophy, that think about things like a preference for facilities-based competition, that have a vision for where they want the country to go. And it also begs the question, when there's this much money at stake, is that the root cause of the problem? Is the fact that the FCC has the authority to begin with the source of the problem? Because if they have the authority to help one side or the other, one of those sides is going to come calling for a favor.
Well, and I do think it's unfair to suggest lawmakers or regulators are unprincipled here. But I think the question is, are they going to follow the data? And it reminds me of that famous quote from John Maynard Keynes, where when asked about changing his opinion, he said, well, the data changes, and when the facts change, change my opinion. What do you do? And I think here the facts aren't consistent with what I believe the predisposed opinion of the chairman was. And the question is, what's he going to do about that?
Yeah. And there's, of course, this is all happening at a time when Verizon as a company is changing, and there's been a couple high profile purchases. So maybe that will inform the discussion as well. Any parting thoughts?
I appreciate your having me here.
And we'll link to Bruce's excellent article in The Street for the show notes in today's episode. But that's it for the show. My guest has been Bruce Melman. He is the co-chairman of the Internet Innovation Alliance, friend of the show. Bruce, thanks for joining again.
Thanks, Evan.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Let us know what you think of the show. Send us an email at media@techfreedom.org. Also, find this podcast in the iTunes store or on your favorite podcast app. Please leave us a review because it will help others find the show. Thanks for listening.
Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work, make a tax-deductible donation, or find other episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.